Please, to the Gospel of Matthew, the second chapter. The second chapter of Matthew, the story is recorded concerning the coming of the wise men. It's a Christmas story. Generally, we hear the story about the wise men because it's recorded early in the Gospel. And generally, I believe it would be understood that by the world, certainly, and also by most Christians, that the wise men came on the night Jesus was born, but they didn't come on the night that Jesus was born. If you'll read the story carefully, you will see that when Jesus was born, a star appeared over where he was. And doesn't say over the stable. It says over where he was. You remember the story, we're going to read it here in just a moment, how they came, and they came to King Herod, and Herod inquired as to when they saw the star, trying to figure out when was the child born. Later on in the second chapter of Matthew, in a passage we'll not read this morning, you'll remember that when Herod was thwarted in his plot to find the child, the wise men went home another way. Herod sent forth an edict that all of the children in the city of Bethlehem under 2 years old should be destroyed. Now, why did he say all the children under 2 years old? If the baby had just been born, he would have gotten them all the newborns, all the ones under a week, or under a month, or under 6 months. He inquired diligently as to when they saw the star, and apparently the wise men had been following this star for a long period of time. We don't know how long, but as long as up to 2 years. And so when we see our manger scenes at Christmas time, and it shows the shepherds, and it shows the star, and it shows the angels, and then you have the wise men in the same scene, that's really not scriptural. The wise men came much later to see the child, and not in the stable. So that you understand that before we read the story. Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. They said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. When ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they were come into the house, you see, not the stable, but into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. You know that, just on this little aside that we talking about here, we need to be careful what we accept that is not anchored and grounded in the Word. Sometimes even our most precious traditions are not really in accordance with the Word of God. Now, this is not terribly important, and it's not terribly essential to our relationship with God, and it's not really germane to our whether or not we've been born again and have the gift of everlasting life. But it is an example of the kinds of things that we need to be sure, and I've said to you so many times from this pulpit and in other ways, if what I preach to you is not the Word of God, then don't you receive it. Because you see, in the day of judgment, I'll have to give account for what I say. You won't have to give account for what I say, but you will have to give account for what you've said and what you believed. You be sure that what you're believing is founded upon God's Word. You be sure that your faith is grounded on the rock. So many times we, even in our Christianity and in our faith, we are accepting so many traditions that when the storms blow and the winds come against our life, our lives don't stand. Jesus told a parable. He says, I'll show you what a man's like that heareth my word and doeth it. He's like a man that builds his house on the rock. And when the storms came and the winds blew, and don't miss this, storms will come and winds will blow in your life. They will. Jesus said that when they come, when the winds blow, that man's house weathered the storm. It did not fall over because it was anchored on the Word of God. But there was another man, and he was a foolish man, and he built his life, he built his house on traditions. He built it on the sand. And that's what tradition is. It's sand. It shifts. And it moves over here and it moves over here. What men say change all the time. Those of you who have gone to school in order to achieve men's wisdom, if you don't keep going to school, you'll lose what you have because men's wisdom continues to change. You have to keep going back to school in order to keep your wisdom updated. Is that right? But you see, God's wisdom never has to be updated because it never changes. It's always the same. And so if we build our house, as the foolish man did, on the shifting sands of what men think, men's wisdom and men's traditions, if we build our life on that, when the storms come and the winds blow, Jesus said, that house fell down and great was the fall thereof. In another way, Paul said in Romans, the 10th chapter, the 17th verse, he says, faith, real faith, comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. If you're going to have faith to believe God, it must be anchored in the Word on the rock, not by tradition. I see it time and time again where people have built their lives on what Daddy said, on what Granddaddy said, on what Great-Granddaddy said, or on what my teacher said, or on what my pastor said. I tell you, there are millions of people going to hell today because they've believed what the pastor said instead of what God said. You hear me? And so today I would say to you, faith comes by hearing the Word. Faith in Christ Jesus will only come as you hear the Word of God, not as you hear the word of men. Faith to believe God in all of His promises will come as you hear the Word of God, not as you have tradition. And those of you that are believing, if your faith is anchored in the Word of God, when the storms come to try to knock you down, they won't knock you down. But if you're basing what you believe upon tradition, it will. And this is just a good example of it. Now, it's no big deal to me, and I'm surely it isn't to you, whether the wise men came to the stable or whether they came months later to a house. But it's just apparently that's important for somebody today, or I wouldn't be speaking that. And so if it is for you, you just receive, just tuck it away down in your spirit. You remember that what you receive what God said. And don't receive it for yourself. You know, don't receive it just because I said it or anybody else, regardless of what you think about me. We are, above all people, blessed that we have this Word available to us. Is there anybody here who is of school age that cannot read? and say so when we stand before God. We stand before Him without excuse because we have the Word given to us. We all have the capacity to read. We certainly are a blessed people. And if there's something in here that we don't know about, it's really only our fault, isn't it? It's really only our responsibility. I want to talk with you a few moments this morning about the significance of this story of the wise men. And something that I just saw this week, I have not seen it before. It's a beautiful story of Christmas. It's a beautiful story about the hearts of three men who were motivated, I'm sure, by the Holy Spirit moving upon them to travel tremendous distance. The Word of God says that they came from the east, that they came from way out across the desert, and came many, many miles on a journey that took them months and months. How many we don't know, but many months it took them to come to where the Christ child was. They were not following a star, they were seeking Jesus. They were not seeking to try to find the star. They were seeking the house over which the star was because they knew something important was on the inside of that house. They were seeking after the Christ, the promise of God. Now, there's a direct parallel to this story of the wise men and the story of a lost person today. There's a parallel here between the journey of the wise men and the experience of the wise men, and exactly the same thing that happened to them happens to us in the new birth. I want you just to see the parallel. It's very simple. It's not a tremendously involved kind of thing, but you follow as we go back through this scripture, and I want you to see, you will see your own experience in it, in the experience of the wise men. And you will also see the anticipated experience that will have to happen in the lives of those who have not yet looked upon Jesus Christ with faith. This is what's going to have to take place. These wise men were early types of those of us who would come behind after the death of Christ and be born again. The scripture says in verse 2 that they came saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." You see, they were coming to find Jesus. They weren't coming to find the star. I know that it said that these were astrologers and that they were seeking after the star. Now, it is true that they apparently knew because the word wise men there does have the tint of magi in it. That they understood the workings of the planets and understood the stars and they observed those things. But they weren't seeking a star. Their question is not, where is the star? Their question is, where is the King? And so it is today that those that would find life everlasting cannot find it in a star, cannot find it in a church, cannot find it in a system. They're only going to find it in the King. Amen. Now they knew that he was the King because they saw the star. Now what's the parallel? You know that in our natural universe, do you know where all light comes from? The source of all light in our universe, in our physical universe, where does it come from? The stars. The light that lights our earth comes from the sun, and the sun is a star. All of the light that we have in our natural universe comes from the stars. They saw the light. And when they saw the light, they said, "We see the King." Now, where has the light come from in the realm of the Spirit? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. and verse number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 3. Paul is talking here now about lost people. He said, "But if our gospel be hidden, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom," that is in the lost, "the god of this world," that is the devil, "hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord." Where is the light? It's the light of the glorious gospel of God. This word, beloved, is light in the darkness. God's word says that Jesus Christ was the light of the world, doesn't it? He was the word, this word made flesh. He was the light manifested in the world. The word. Jesus Christ, whose name was the word of God. This word is light. Do you remember in our teaching a year or so ago, and we were teaching concerning the ministry of the Word, and we talked about the dark ages. Do you remember why the ages were dark? Because there was no Word. The dark ages was dark because there was no Word of God. And on the day when Jesus was born, there also was no Word in the earth. There was gross darkness upon the earth, and light burst forth in that stable in the form of Jesus Christ. Why was there no word? Because the religious leaders of that day, the Pharisees and the scribes, had so covered up the promises of God and had so covered up the word of God with their laws and their traditions. Jesus said, "You've made the word of God of no effect by your tradition." Dark, dark, dark. The Lord showed me the other, last evening, I guess, Isaiah, the 60th chapter, the prophecy concerning the coming of Jesus. It is also prophetic utterance concerning the ministry of the church of Jesus Christ today. And he has spoken this to our own local body here. Listen to it. Isaiah 60, the first three verses, or the first several verses. Let me just read them as long as the Holy Spirit gives leading. "Arise, shine. For thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." Does that sound like the Lord? "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." And what happened on that day? Three kings came to the brightness of his rising. Why did they come? Because they saw the light. They saw a star from heaven giving them light. And they responded to the light and they said, "Where is this king? We have come to worship him." And that's exactly what happens today. Exactly what happens today. A person is lost. He's bound by the god of this world. His mind has been blinded and he does not see the light of the glorious gospel of Christ because there's blinders on his spiritual eyes. But the word of God goes forth and the word of God goes forth and the word of God goes forth. And it's like a star in the sky and it bursts upon his heart like a glorious light. And he says, "Where is this Jesus? I want to worship him." That's exactly what happens today. That's what happened to me. How about you? Did it? I got this, not this very one right here. It happened to be a Revised Standard Bible. You know, you can get saved with a Revised Standard. You can get saved with a Living. I tell you, you can get saved with any of them. I believe you can get saved with a Jehovah Witness Bible. I wouldn't want to have one of those. But I believe you could get saved with it if your heart was open to God. This word is like a star that shines over the life that's in Jesus Christ. And when the person sees the light, as these wise men did, they come and say, "Where's this king? We want to worship him." Now on the way, They set out to seek him. They aggressively and eagerly sought after the King of the Jews. They were bound and determined, come hell or high water, it didn't matter what took place, they were going to find him because they'd seen the light. Since they saw the light, they knew he was real. They knew he existed, and they were going to find him. And so they traveled, and they sought, and they sought, and they sought, and they sought. And on the way, up pops a devil, and his name was Herod. He said, oh, I see where you're going. You're seeking the king. You're seeking Jesus. That's a good thing. Tell you what you do. When you find him, come back and talk to me. I want to talk to you about it. I see that you're eager, and I see that your face is set like a flint, and I know that you're going to find him. When you do, I want you to come back and bring me a report. That's exactly what happens to the person who is lost today. The devil, in the person of all of his friends, will do everything he can to maintain the contact that he has with him in order to steal from him what he's received after he receives Christ. Herod said, when you find him, come on back here and tell me about it because I want to go worship him too. Baloney. And that's the same way it is today, beloved. Come on back and tell me so I can go worship him. No, he doesn't want to worship him. He wants to kill the Jesus that's in you. But these wise men were really wise. How do I know they were wise? Because they didn't go back into their old life. They didn't go back to their old associations. They didn't go back to their old friends. They went on with God, and they went home after they met Jesus a different way. After they met the Lord Jesus Christ, they were changed. They were different. And they showed that by going home a completely different way. No more contact with that old stuff. Now, you notice what happened when they came to Jesus? Let's look back at it, Matthew 2. Verse number 11. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and what did they do? They fell down. They fell down. Jesus said, he that will lose his life shall find it. And he that shall find his life shall lose it. They fell down and gave their lives to the Lord. Well, I don't know about that church over there. I understand that you get down on your knees every once in a while. I've never been to a church like that. I don't think I want to get into that kind of a situation. Well, don't come here, please. Please, because when the Spirit of God says, bow your knee before me, we're going to bow our knees, and you'll feel silly. You'll feel silly, and so don't put yourself in that situation if you're not really, don't really have that in your heart. They fell down before him, a baby. Well, I guess if I could see Jesus on his throne, if I could see him with my eyes, if I could see that sword in his hand, if I could see the majesty and the glory of God, then I would fall down before him and give him my allegiance. Baloney. That's a lie. That's a lie. Anyone that has to see him like that will see him like that and will bow their knee and hear him say, depart from me, I never knew you. No more opportunities. These wise men were not concerned about what he looked like. They knew in their heart because they'd seen the light. They saw the light and they fell before him even though he was a tiny little baby. I don't understand this big fuss you're making about this little baby. How could he save anybody? I didn't understand it quite either until I believed it. Then I understood it real good. I understand it real good now. Real good. Because understanding, you see, follows behind the believing. They fell on their knees and worshiped him. And then they opened their treasures and they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. They said, Lord, we will not only worship you in form, but we will worship you also in substance. Here is the evidence of our worship. Here is the evidence of our giving our lives to you. Here is the evidence of what we feel in our heart. Here is the demonstration that we really believe what we're saying and we're not just giving you lip service. There's no record there of any reaction from Jesus. Some say, well, if I could do that, and if I could have the Lord touch me, or if I could have him speak a word to me, if I could have him say, oh, well done, I love you, blessed art thou, then I'd really know that I'd met the Lord. Hallelujah. This is a little baby. He couldn't even say goo goo. But when these three wise men, after giving their all to him, when they got up off their knees and left the house, they went home another way. Different men. Not the same, and neither will you be the same when you meet Jesus. Neither will you be the same when you meet the Lord if you meet him like they did. Did you ever see that in that story? That's beautiful, isn't it? God's word is so full and so rich, and I marvel at the Holy Spirit, how he opened up a simple story like that. I've known that story of the wise men since I was a little boy, and now I'm a big boy, and I've heard it so many times. I've preached this message. But I never saw this until this week. Now, let me say this to you, beloved. You can come to the manger at Bethlehem. You can come and sing away in the manger, silent night, oh, come all ye faithful. What child is this? It came upon a midnight clear. Hark, the herald angels sing. And you can go home just as dry and just as dead as you were when you walked in. But these wise men didn't, because they were truly seeking after the king, and they wanted him to be king over them. They fell down before him and worshiped him, gave unto him of their substance and of their life. And when they departed differently. Now that can be your testimony today. If you are here today and do not know Jesus as your Savior, you have seen the light of His star. You didn't see it in the east. I don't know what direction this is, but it's west, isn't it? I guess that's east or south. That's east. Well, anyway. But you did see his star, because his star is the light. It's the light of this gospel. And if you never heard it before, beloved, you heard it now. And if you really want to meet the king, you can meet him this morning. I mean, you can really know him. I mean, you can go home another way. Praise God, there is another way. Doesn't that thrill you? There is another way. Hallelujah. He made another way. That's what Christmas is all about. I asked the Lord just last evening, just before I went to bed, I said, Lord, give me something specific that you want me to share with your people. And he just gave it back to me just now. And he said, Isaiah 40 in verse 2, and just start reading there. And I opened it up to verse Isaiah 40. And that's the way he speaks to me many times as I question him. And he just gives me chapter and verse like that. It's not all the time like that, but in this particular case it was. And I went and I read it, and I didn't understand it fully at first. And I began to meditate on it and ask him, Lord, what do you mean by that? And he began to open it up. He said, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. He said to me to speak positively to you. He said, speak comfortably to my people. Speak encouragement and edification to my people. And cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. The war's over. It's finished. Your warfare's done, beloved. Her iniquity is pardoned. Now that is comfortable language, isn't it? Her iniquity is pardoned. And I say unto you today in the name of the Lord that your iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. What's he mean by that? I ask him about that. What do you mean that we've received double for all our sins? And this is what came to me. You know, time and again in the New Testament, Jesus, when he was speaking to people that were in trouble, people that were depressed, oppressed, and all the rest of the pressed, he said unto them, go and sin no more. He told the adulterous woman, go and don't sin anymore. He told the man at the pool at Bethesda when he had been delivered from his palsy, from his impotence, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing should come upon you. He spoke to the man, the paralytic, that was laid in through the roof by his four friends. He said, son, thy sins are forgiven thee, over and over again. Why do you suppose he said, go and sin no more? Because the result of sin, beloved, is oppression. It does open us up. And in this life, there is a suffering for our sins that God has already delivered us from in Christ Jesus. Those of you, if you're like me, who lived many years not knowing Christ, I paid for many of my sins, and so did you. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Now, I don't mean I paid the full price, but I suffered because of them. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying I paid God's price. But then God sent a man. His name was Jesus. He was born in a stable. And he lived his whole life without ever doing anything wrong. He lived his whole life in love and compassion and mercy. But in the fullness of time, God allowed him to be hung on the cross. He allowed him to be sacrificed so that the price of my sin and yours could be paid. And in essence, the price has been paid twice. A portion of it we've paid in this life. Not the penalty, but the cost of it. Jesus has paid it in full. At the Lord's hand, we have received double for all of our sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Because every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places shall be made plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up and be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and he shall gently lead those that are with young. He did it. He really did. And he'd do it for you too. If you don't know Jesus Christ today in a personal way, I invite you to receive him just by inviting him into your heart, just simply. Come before the Lord in your heart. Fall before him and acknowledge him for who he said. Now, I'm not talking about doing it up here. I did it up here for 37 years. I grew up in a traditional church. I was as religious as well, not as they come. I guess they come more religious, but I was traditionally religious for 37 years, but I was also dead. I was also lost. You may be like that. If you have all your religion up here in your head's going to die when your body does, beloved. And if your religion's all up here, it's not going to carry you into glory because it's going into the grave. You better have your religion in your heart, because that's the only thing that's going to heaven is what's in here, not what's in here. What's here? Fall before the Lord and worship Him. Let us pray.